You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel investigation led a federal law enforcement agency to have to defend itself before Congress in recent weeks. We'll hear what went wrong with the ATF in Wisconsin.
But first, it's time for our weekly state news roundup with WPR's assistant news director, Noah Oshinsky.
Noah, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Rob.
Well, let's kick off with an issue we've been covering on the show, you've been covering in the news department over the course of the week, an effort to change Wisconsin's educational standards. It's in the legislature. We heard from Senator Paul Farrow, a sponsor of this legislation. We heard from Department of Public Instruction Chief Tony Evers, a strong critic of that legislation. First, give us a little background, if you would, Noah, on what this does.
Yeah, so this bill basically scraps the Common Core Education Standards, which were developed about 4 years ago and adopted by 40-plus states, including Wisconsin. And the bill also then establishes a board of appointees here in Wisconsin that would come up with those standards instead of those put forth by the Common Core Standards.
So what's happened in the last couple days? A lot of new developments on this.
Right. So there's a public hearing this week, which drew a very large crowd of people, school district administrators, teachers, and people from the business community who don't like this bill, for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what did they have to say? What were some of the comments we were hearing at this public hearing yesterday?
Well, the state superintendent of public instruction, Tony Evers, said on this show, in fact, that this proposed academic standards board would lead to the politicization of education standards. District superintendents have also echoed similar concerns. So, of course, there is this concern that this board, which would be made up of individuals appointed by the legislature, the governor, and the state superintendent, that they may eventually pass standards that may be not appropriate for students.
And Senator Farrow said, hey, this is just an opportunity to Wisconsinify. He didn't use that word.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
To make it local, to meet the needs of Wisconsin. Well, we've had this public hearing now, a lot of comment back and forth. Where does this legislation stand now?
Well, Senator Luther Olson, who's the chairman of the Education Committee, who's basically in charge of this bill, told the AP that the bill is... Well, it's not dead. It's basically in limbo. Basically, there just aren't enough votes, in particular Republican votes, at this point to pass this thing.
And we're so close to the end of the session, right, that if it's not moving and moving fast now, it's not going to happen for the time being.
Yeah. And, for me, this issue is really a question of how involved the legislature should be in what gets taught in the classroom. And I think that's a fundamental question that people disagree on, both school administrators, obviously some lawmakers who feel the legislature should be involved. The bill's chief backer, Senator Vukmir, has said that she hasn't given up on this. So we may see this again.
So it's in limbo. It is not dead.
Yeah, it's probably going to return in some form or another.
And next, we're going to move to a new proposal that could connect Superior to Alberta, Canada. There is a proposed pipeline in the works. Noah, what's going on there?
Right. So Enbridge, which is a large pipeline operator here in the United States and Canada, announced this week that they wanted to build a really large pipeline between Alberta, Canada, and Superior up in northern Wisconsin. In fact, this would be the largest single project that they have ever taken on, which is saying something because they operate a lot of pipelines.
And we've seen what kind of pushback there's been on the Keystone XL pipeline, which is still in limbo. What kind of hurdles would Enbridge have to clear to make this happen?
Well, that's an interesting thing with this particular pipeline that we're talking about. Enbridge argues that this project, the $7 billion project, is actually a replacement for an already existing line. So it doesn't need what's called a presidential permit from the Obama administration. And it's actually the pursuit of that permit which has the Keystone XL pipeline in limbo right now. We're waiting to get word from the State Department as to its future here in the United States. So if what Enbridge says is true, that in fact, because this pipeline is a replacement and not a new pipeline, then that's one less gigantic obstacle that Enbridge has to face in order to build this new infrastructure.
So this could be fast-tracked and not face the same hurdles that Keystone is facing.
Exactly. And of course, there are people out there, environmentalists, who argue, actually, no, this thing should go through the same permitting process. So there is some disagreement there.
Now, this looks like a pretty big investment in the billions of dollars. Do you have a sense of the urgency for it?
Yeah. you know, when I first read this, I think this is one of those stories that represents a much larger, much bigger story. I think that the fact that Enbridge is willing to invest this kind of money just says that. It suggests how much oil is flowing from Canada, both now and what they expect to flow in the near future, and certainly the importance of being able to transport that oil. I mean, right now, the United States and Canada is going through something of a fossil fuel renaissance right now. We are producing a lot of oil and natural gas. And, you know, how we choose to move these new resources is a matter of debate.
And environmentalists have a lot of concerns about the safety, about the transit, about leaks in the pipeline. I'm assuming that this new proposed Enbridge pipeline is facing that same kind of scrutiny. What are people saying about safety?
Right. So, you know, the news of this new proposal from Enbridge comes at a time when the transport of this oil is really under the microscope, both because there is an ever-increasing reliance on rail, which has raised some safety concerns. There are a lot more trains carrying oil through communities. And because there are, of course, there are those ever-present concerns about the safety of pipelines, especially here in the upper Midwest, because there was a spill in the Kalamazoo River in Michigan several years ago. It was an Enbridge pipeline that ruptured, and really a lot of oil ended up in that river. Environmentalists point to that as one of the many reasons why we shouldn't be investing more in these pipelines.
And you mentioned that we seem to be in the midst of a fossil fuel renaissance. Is that something that is getting this new proposal some pushback as well?
Right. Environmentalists, obviously, they compare it to the Keystone Pipeline, both because they think it's unsafe, and as I just mentioned, point to the Kalamazoo River example as an example, but because they feel like for every dollar that we're investing in new pipelines, that's money, that's resources, that's time that we're not spending moving the country, away from fossil fuels and towards green energy. Environmentalists look at these pipelines, both the Keystone Pipeline and the one we're just talking about from Enbridge here. They see this as delaying this transformation that they see needs to happen in this country.
And in terms of supporters for pipelines like this, there is, I suppose, the argument that this is not foreign oil.
Right, exactly. So supporters of the industry, including Governor Walker, who's very vocal in support of the Keystone Pipeline, argues that, this Canadian oil, as well as the oil that's coming from the Dakotas here in the U.S., that it will help the U.S. become less reliant on oil from regions that may be volatile or hostile. For the supporters of pipelines, this is about energy security.
No, it's early, but is there a timeline for this thing?
It is early. There, of course, may be opposition. It's still an open question as to whether or not this new pipeline has to go through the same process as Keystone. But Enbridge wants this new line operational by mid-2017.
Another big story this week came out over the weekend and progressed very quickly, a change in one leadership position among Republicans in the Assembly.
Yeah, so Republicans in the Assembly voted earlier this week to remove Representative Bill Cramer as majority leader for the rest of this session. And that happened just a few days after allegations surfaced that Cramer sexually harassed two women on a trip to Washington, D.C.
One voice we have not heard much from in this story is Representative Cramer himself. What's the latest we know about him?
Well, according to his office, he admitted himself, I believe it was last Saturday, he admitted himself to an unidentified treatment center.
And beyond the allegations of harassment, what did we know about Representative Bill Cramer before this?
Yeah, so he's one of those individuals in the Capitol who is really one of those sort of bigger personalities in the state Capitol. He's been described as bombastic, blunt. He's known for his sometimes inappropriate sense of humor. And one of the other things that I remember clearly was last year he walked out of the State of the Tribes address last year because he didn't like what he heard. And so certainly a big personality, forgetting everything else that may or may not be related to the allegations.
And again, before these allegations, was there a buzz about his personality around the Capitol, maybe even among his fellow Republicans?
Yeah, there were at least one lawmaker, if not more, who expressed during the election, the original election, for him to become the majority leader. There were concerns at around that same time that his past behavior, may be problematic for the Republican caucus and for Cramer himself. So these rumors of inappropriate behavior, in this case allegations most recently, this isn't new.
He's out. Who is in the majority leader position?
So, yeah, Representative Pastrakota was elected to replace Kramer, and notable for two reasons. One is she's the state assembly's first ever female majority leader, so that's a big deal. On the other side, though, she's leaving the legislature at the end of the session, so this new role itself is going to be short term.
So they didn't want a big rigmarole now. They'll elect somebody new after the next round of elections.
Exactly, exactly.
And then any thoughts from Republicans as to Kramer's future, not in the leadership position, but in the assembly as a whole?
Right. So Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said, you know, there are no plans to censure Representative Kramer. Kramer, as far as we know, you know, he hasn't resigned or anything like that. Voss did say that he hoped Kramer would not seek reelection. He did say if Kramer did come back to the legislature that, and again, he was a little bit vague about this, but he said, Voss said that actions would have to be taken to protect the safety of staff, lobbyists, and others at the Capitol.
Not something you ever want to have to say about one of your fellow caucus members.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and we'll wrap up with a look ahead. Can you give us a check on how the current session is shaping up?
Right. So we are very quickly closing in on the first week of April, which is the last week of the regularly scheduled session. So the legislative session is wrapping up. I would expect really a flurry of activity in the coming weeks up until that first week in April when the lawmakers are going to want to try to pass as much as they can before then.
All right. So they'll be keeping you busy.
Very.
All right. Noah, thanks for coming by.
Thanks.
That was Noah Ovshinsky, WPR's assistant news director.